in the next few minutes, I just want to remind you of some familiar truths, but I think truths that are very important for your role, very relevant for your role. So if you have a Bible, would you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? And if you don't, we have this scripture passage on some handouts that we'll give out to you if you need it. I want to read verses 14 through 18. Paul writes, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God." All this is from God. Let me give you a little perspective on this passage from the broader teaching of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul where he is seeking, amongst numerous things, one of the things he's seeking to do is to establish the legitimacy of his apostolic ministry to the church there. It's a letter that's designed to adjust the Corinthians' perspective. Some of the Corinthians were failing to see or to believe that Paul's ministry was truly from Christ, that he was truly to be regarded as an apostle and his teaching from Christ. So it's a letter to defend his ministry in that regard, but it's also a very personal letter. It's a letter where Paul seeks to explain to the Corinthians that his ministry, even costly suffering included, was done out of love for Christ and out of love for them, the church. And in the midst of all the suffering he's experienced, in the midst of accusation, his resolution is to care for the Corinthian church. And his resolution is really unwavering. It's inspiring to see that in the face of so much accusation, he really has resolved to move the gospel forward in this church and elsewhere. Throughout this letter, Paul's life and Paul's words repeatedly testify to us that when our confidence and when our hope are set in the right place, that we find massive courage to press forward in service. We find confidence and faith to press into the ministry that God has called us to. When you think about the ministry that God has called you to the ladies of this church, where do you find hope? Where do you find confidence? Where do you find courage to keep going, to continue to press on, to be faithful, to lead another meeting, to make another phone call? Where do you find the motivation to do that? God wants to use Paul's words this morning to point us to the place where we find fresh faith and motivation to serve. Where did Paul look? Well, let's first consider where he learned not to look. Paul learned not to look inward for fresh faith and motivation. He learned not to look to himself for confidence. Paul's not impressed with himself. And if you're like me, you know the temptation of comparing yourself to others, of trying to find confidence to minister or to evaluate the success of God's ministry through you based on your performance or how you compare it to others. Paul doesn't want us to do that. More importantly, God doesn't want us to do that. In this letter, Paul describes our lives as jars of clay. Not very impressive, is it? Jars of clay. Paul lived aware of personal weakness. And I personally find it refreshing to read through the Apostle Paul's writing and just see how he described himself, how he viewed himself. He was not impressed with himself. And just it puts me at ease regarding my limitations and my weaknesses, which are numerous. But in the reality of personal felt weakness, Paul's not left trembling. He's not left to himself and his own devices. He's not found retreating. He's looking outward. He knows that in these jars of clay exists a treasure, a life-transforming treasure known as the gospel. as you read this letter, you encounter Paul in the midst of these weaknesses, compelled, constrained, controlled. What's he compelled to do? He's compelled to give his life away, we see in this passage. What is he controlled by? He writes, the love of Christ controls us. Do you ever feel weak and inadequate for your task? Do you ever feel like asking, why am I leading this group of ladies? Why am I leading this meeting? Who am I to lead this? What have I got to say? What have I got to offer them? You're in good company. You're in good company with your pastors and with your pastors' wives in your awareness of your own weakness. We are aware of our weakness. But we see in this text two ways that the love of Christ transforms our thinking. Two ways that the love of Christ takes unimpressive jars of clay and makes us fruitful, makes us useful in ministry. And that's what I want to explore this morning. I want you to be aware that God wants to use this text to inspire you. Why it is so worth it to take care of the ladies in your care group. Let this text give you new eyes about your purpose and about your perspective of leading your ladies group. Let's look at those two areas. First, the love of Christ on the cross transforms our purpose for living. It transforms our purpose for living. It transformed Paul's purpose for living. Paul knew what it was like to live for himself. Paul was pursuing being the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was zealous. He was bent on his own missions prior to conversion. But something had changed, or rather, something profound had broken into his life and changed him at the deepest level. We know about Paul's conversion experience, don't we? We know about the road to Damascus. We know how Paul was traveling and the Lord violently interrupted his life and took a hold of his life, converted him radically on that road. But what happened in the days and weeks and months and years to follow? Well, the Lord continued to work. And Paul thought a lot about the cross. And his meditations transformed his thinking about himself and about ministry. What did this seasoned apostle learn? Well, we see from verse 14 that he had concluded something. As a Christian, his many hours of thinking about ministry and thinking about the Lord, he concluded something very profound. He concluded this, that one has died for all. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. But for him. How did the love of Christ on the cross transform Paul? And how should Christ's sacrifice transform you? It transforms our purpose, the very purpose for why we live, the very purpose for how we order our lives, for what we do, the decisions we make, where we give our lives. See, you and I are like Paul in this. We used to be defined by self, didn't we? We used to be oriented towards self. I wonder how many hours, how many days, as a young man, I wasted dreaming about me, having thoughts and aspirations that were entirely about me. Despite what you know about my athletic ability, particularly the guys here, I actually did spend time dreaming about making it in sports, making that final shot in the basketball game, throwing that spiral to the corner of the end zone and the touchdown being scored. Went on to dream about being the guitarist of the next version of U2. These were the things I spent hours thinking about and living for as a young man. I lived for myself. I dreamed about moi. I made plans and they were all about me, ultimately. But then came the gospel. Then came the gospel. The grace of God drew me and enabled me to conclude what Paul has concluded here, that one died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves but for him. Think about the dreams you grew up dreaming. Think about the things that have motivated you over the course of your life, that have revolved around you. Think about how the gospel has broken in and transform the very heart of what you're living for, the very one who you dream about and think about. The gospel has that effect on others. as Christians, as those called to minister, as you ladies are called to give your lives away to ladies in your care group, it's the gospel that is going to transform your motives. It's the gospel that's going to give you fresh purpose to give your lives away. We need to be captivated by the same thing that captivated Paul, don't we? We need to be captivated by the gospel. Why do we continue to serve? Well, it's because Christ died. He died that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. Without knowing all the details of each of your lives, I know that each of you ladies give countless hours every week to serving. Those of you who are single are serving in the church, working in the workforce, serving families, reaching out to the lost. Thank you, single ladies, for how you're giving your lives away for the gospel. Married ladies, serving your husbands, raising, training, disciplining, listening to, driving around your kids all over town. Grandmothers, serving your husband, your children, your grandchildren. You ladies are busy serving. We know you are. Paul wants to encourage you. Really, the Spirit of God wants to encourage you today that all of your sacrifice, which is geared towards others, is ultimately for Him. He died that you might no longer live for yourself, but for Him. And in the care of the ladies in your care group, as you pray for them, as you do all that you do to prepare meetings, to follow up, to make sure that you know them, that they're doing well, taking hold of grace, as you practically serve, as you make meals, as you watch another's child, all these things are expressions of living for Christ. This is an amazing transformation that has taken place in your lives. And God wants you to be aware of it. God has transformed the reason why you live, the dreams you dream, and the purpose for why you live each day. Apart from saving grace, this wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't have an outward focus today. But that's how God changes us, by the gospel. Apart from saving grace, you wouldn't probably be friends with the ladies in your ladies group. But God redeems, and then He brings us together. Apart from saving grace, you wouldn't be concerned about the souls of others. Their sins wouldn't concern you. They would annoy you, and you'd want to separate yourself from them. But the gospel presses us into the lives of others to care for them, to love them. Let me ask you, have you been contemplating the cross lately? When was the last time you thought about how He died for you in such a way that affected you? When was the last time you thought about His blood being shed for you and cleansing you of all your sin? When was the last time you contemplated how Jesus bore the wrath of God so that you might not have to, so that you might not spend eternity separated from God, but eternity with God? Have you contemplated these things lately? Grasping this love will control your desires. Grasping this love will orient your desires Christward. Grasping this reality will give you purpose and motivation to serve. The love of Christ on the cross transforms our purpose for living. Look, I know that there's selfish desires in you. How do I know? Because there's selfish desires in me. And we have to fight those, yes. But it's the love of Christ that gives us motivation to give our lives away day in and day out. We love Christ too much not to serve, don't we? We love Christ too much to sit back. We love Christ so much that we're compelled, like Paul is compelled, to get in there and to serve and to care for others. Thank you for how you do this. Thank you for your heart to serve. Thank you for how you have, over years, allowed the love of Christ to compel you into service. Paul doesn't stop with purpose. Paul doesn't stop with how the cross transforms our motivation. With verse 16, we see that Paul wants to speak as well about our perspective of others. Our perspective of others. How many of you here today wear contacts or glasses or have had LASIK surgery? Raise your hand if you're in that group. Okay, a lot of us. Okay, I wear contacts as well. Do you remember what it was like when your eyesight was getting really bad, but you were putting off that first appointment? Do you remember what that was like? I remember not being able to distinguish leaves on trees. I remember sitting in the second or third row of class, not being able to see math problems on the board. I needed in a serious way to get some help for my eyes. And I remember what it was like to walk out at first with glasses. Those of you know me who can mock me, they were pretty big glasses. They were pretty big rimmed. They did the job. I remember walking up the street in my neighborhood thinking, wow, look at those trees. Look at the leaves on those trees. I forgot things look this way. What a difference. What a difference a new prescription makes. What a difference a new perspective makes on how we view life. Well, Paul wants us to see that it's the cross of Christ that is the new prescription for how we view others. It's the cross of Christ that gives us new eyes for how to view those we're called to care for. The love of Christ on the cross transforms our perspective. Paul knew life without this prescription. He knew what it was like as he looked back on his former years to view others according to the flesh. He did that well. He was glad as an unbeliever to support the stoning of Stephen. He was on his way to Jerusalem intent on inflicting persecution to Christians. He even viewed Christ wrongly as a false Messiah, as not the fulfillment of the hopes of Israel. Why? Because his perspective was shaped by the flesh, by unbelief, by wrong perspective. He lacked the prescription of faith. But now, Christ had intervened. Christ had given him new eyes, and now he saw the Savior different. He recognized that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And even though for us, we do not see Jesus in the flesh on a daily basis, as Peter says, though we do not see him, we love him. Why? Because God has given us new eyes. God has given us eyes of faith for how we view Jesus Christ. But what about others? What about the ladies in your care group? Do you ever struggle to have a right view of others? No, I didn't think so. Yeah, you probably have this week. You probably have recently in some way. Maybe it's someone in your family or you're close in your relational circle. We are either viewing others according to these new eyes that God has given us through the cross, or we view others according to the flesh. We want to learn what Paul has learned, to no longer regard others according to the flesh, to no longer regard others according to our natural senses, but to see others through the lens of grace, how God has transformed them. Paul wrote, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." Think about the ladies in your group. Do you see the work that Christ has done in them? Do you recognize that if they are in Christ, they are new creations? The old is gone. The new has come. The Spirit of God dwells in them and is at work in them. And you can have eyes now to see. You can have a heart that anticipates His activity in their lives. And when you see it, you can celebrate it because they are new creations in Christ. That is the new perspective that the gospel gives us. Paul said that we no longer regard Christ according to the flesh because Christ has changed the lens through which we look. And that is the same for how we view others. If anyone is in Christ, the new has come. The love of Christ transforms our perspective of others. Where do you need to update your prescription for how you view others? Is there a particular lady where you need the lens of the gospel to inform your perspective? This passage can do that for you. Think about that person. Think about how they're new creations. The old is gone. They are changed at the most fundamental and profound level. But it is a process. Growth is incremental, isn't it? How I wish that total transformation, total growth came as an event. How I'm sure others around me wish that growth came as a one-time event, once and for all, totally changed, no more growth needed. But God is at work, transforming us from one degree of glory to another. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. And we can join in seeing life this way, seeing others this way. With this perspective, there's joy. Without this perspective, you will grow weary in ministry. Without this perspective, you will find joy evasive. But with this perspective, you will find joy and faith to serve. The gospel transforms our motives. It gives us new eyes. Where did all this come from? Does this just come from our doing, from our working this up? No, Paul wants to make it abundantly clear in verse 18. All this is from God. New motives, new eyes. It's all from God. Why? What has God been doing? God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So for Paul, you are either a new creation, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, being changed from one degree of glory to another, or you're somebody who needed the gospel and you're unreconciled to God. These were the two categories through which Paul viewed others. The category of those being transformed by grace or those in need of transforming grace. All of it is from God. As you move forward into this fall and another year of serving, the women of Covenant Life Church, what's going to give you perspective? What's going to sustain you week after week after week? Well, may God continue to root your purpose for living in the cross of Christ. May God give you a fresh heart to serve, new eyes, new hunger, new passion to serve, to not sit back but to lean forward, to get in there and to mix things up in women's lives because you're passionate about seeing the gospel being advanced in the lives of others because God has given you new motivation by the cross of Christ. He died that we might no longer live for ourselves but for him. And as you think about another year and how to view the ladies in your group, what's going to give you the right perspective day after day after day as you walk with them through suffering, as you walk with them through trials and challenges? What's going to give you right perspective? It's the gospel. It's the new lens, the new prescription of the gospel. All this is from God. So may God impress this on your hearts. May God give you fresh faith through these words, life-transforming words. What I wish we could do now is to go around and to hear about each one of you and to hear about God's grace in your life and through your life. Obviously, we don't have time to do that this morning, though I wish we could. And if we don't do it in this lifetime, I want to make sure we do it in heaven, okay? Because there's so much grace to celebrate. But I do want us to celebrate grace in one lady's life, because she, in a sense, represents all of you. God is at work in each of your lives. This is one lady who no longer lives for herself, but for him. One who sees others in Christ as new creations. And we have someone special here to give a testimony this morning. This is Carolina Bermudez, who is going to come up this morning and to share about the difference that one Charlotte Dybul has made in her life. So Charlotte didn't know this was happening, so surprise, surprise, Charlotte. Let's welcome Carolina as she comes.
Good morning. My name is Carolina Bermudez. As a single mom, the challenges in life can sometimes seem overwhelming. And as a single mom, there are particular temptations to view myself solely through the lens of my circumstances. But the Lord and the Lord's people have helped me to view myself differently through the lens of the gospel. Let me bring you briefly into my story of how one dear friend in this room has served me in profound ways. In a singles care group, it can be a challenge to find someone to babysit on Tuesday nights. However, this doesn't seem to be a problem for my care group. Jason, my 8.5-year-old, is welcome to join, but is separated into another room with his toys, or sometimes he chooses to sit and listen when it's deemed appropriate. Tuesdays are not the only days I've needed help with my son. There has been numerous times, especially during the summer, where he's out of school in day camp can be so expensive and my choices for childcare become limited. This brings me to my dear and fellow care group friend, Charlotte Dybul. Oddly enough, Charlotte and I knew each other from high school years ago and never thought we'd find each other again at CLC. Charlotte and I have been in the same care group for the past 5 years and she is now the care group assistant. In the many times I've needed help with childcare, I have hesitantly come to her and asked for help, and I have shared this with her. But her response has been, please don't. I love watching Jason. He is such a good boy. Where do I start? Charlotte's heart desire to serve me melts me as I can clearly see God's goodness and care for my son and I. In the past year, she has taken Jason to summer celebration back and forth. She has babysat on days where I have urgently needed a babysitter. She has rushed over to pick up Jason from KidsGo, the before and after school care program, on evenings where traffic is bad and I've had to stay late at work. There has been days where she's had to get up early to be at my house by 7:45 a.m. And she is there, ready with a smile on her face. I see her demeanor and I wonder, this has got to be God in her. Charlotte not only serves me by watching Jason, but she makes it fun for my son. And when I say fun, I mean taking him to a water park, the pool, Chick-fil-A, etc. Jason gets excited when I tell him Charlotte will babysit him. He loves her. She has been such a means of grace to my life, caring, praying, and encouraging me in moments where God only knows how discouraged I have been. But he has used her with scripture, encouraging me to not grow weary, but to trust God, always pointing me to the one who loved me first. Her care exemplifies no longer living for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised. Charlotte knows I am in constant need of God's grace to grow, but yet she is not judgmental, but patient, and serves me without an objection. This is clearly Christ in her life. This is the Father's faithful love shown through her, and I am grateful that she's allowing God to use her. The love of Christ controls her. Her heart to serve me has reminded me that I am not defined by my circumstances, not by the opinions of others, not by how I feel, but by the transforming work of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Excellent, Carolina. Thank you. Great job. Outstanding. Thank you, Carolina. Thank you, Charlotte, for your example. Thank you for serving ladies in this church. And lest anyone here be tempted to compare your serving to Charlotte's, I want to just release you of that burden right now. The ways that each of you are called to serve are unique. So the reason why we share that testimony is not for you to compare the specific circumstances in which you're serving to Charlotte's, though we all want to be inspired by her. We know that Carolina's experience is the experience of so many women in this church because of how you lead meetings, because of how you facilitate care, for how you delegate the making of meals, the babysitting, the practical needs. Thank you for how you ladies serve the women of this church. We, as your pastors, are so grateful. So though your circumstances may be different, though the ladies in your group may be in a different season, let's let Charlotte's example inspire us, the purpose for which Charlotte lives, the motivation, the eyes through which she views others. I want to be like you, Charlotte. I want to be like you in that way, so thank you for your example. This is what God is up to in this church. This is why we love to minister. This is why you all are doing what you're doing, because lives are being changed through your example and through your care. So thank you so very much. All this is from God. So could we just pray and give him thanks? God, we do say all this is from you. Your transforming work in our lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's from you. And the eyes we now have to see others as new creations, that too is from you. And so God, we pray that you might allow us to grow in these ways, that you might allow us to experience fresh grace in these ways, that we might be motivated with a heart to serve that comes directly from the gospel, that we might experience joy in our service because we know he who died. We know the one who died for us, and we want to live for him. So God, give us that motive. God, give us eyes to see others in light of your transforming work. We thank you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the women in this room and the way they serve. Bless them, strengthen them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.